It's good to see you again.
Good evening and welcome back to episode 16 of the KC Fireside's Hearthstone podcast. My name is Robert.
And I'm Sam.
And tonight we've got some really great topics to discuss. I'm kick it over to Sam and give us a quick rundown of the show.
All right. This evening, we're going to catch up after a long break. It's been, what, a month, I think? Coming up 3 weeks?
Yes.
In typical podcast fashion. We took our first hiatus. We took a vacation. This is, you know, this is, we put in some hard work for 15 weeks, and it's like, all right, you got to kick back a little bit. We had life going on. We had stuff to do, but we're back by popular demand. Always good to be back.
That's true.
So this evening, we're going to discuss a little bit about fireside gatherings we have coming up. And what we think of Un'Goro, and more specifically, the state of Un'Goro Arena. So, back to you, Robert.
Yeah, very nice. Well, let's get things started with our check-ins. Sam, how you been doing this month? What's been going on in the last 4 weeks?
Okay, there's a lot that did happen. There's a lot of work, but in gaming news, it's been rather quiet. I've been in rather a gaming slump.
Ooh.
I'd say, but not in like a bad way, not in a malicious, more of like, not malicious like Gul'dan hunch, more like a cheerful Quasimodo from Hunchback of Notre Dame slump, you know, he's very cheery about it.
Yeah.
what an analogy.
That's
good
great.
God. All right, here we go. So this month, mostly I've been playing Heroes of the Storm.
Okay.
It's just, I come back. I boot up Heroes of the Storm, insta-pick Stitches, and head into AI, and just enjoy myself.
Nice.
Just be a big bumbling corpse, and get into robots' faces. I'm just really enjoying it. It's a great way for me to chill out after work. In terms of Hearthstone, it's mostly been arena runs. I have really been enjoying arena, and I found that I'm actually not half bad at
nice.
Arena.
Nice.
It's mostly feast or famine. I usually go, you know, I think my worst runs are 3 and 3, 3 wins. But if I don't go 3 wins, I go 9, 10, 11 wins.
Nice.
So really been enjoying that. I've got a nice profit of gold, just hanging out in my collection, waiting for the next expansion.
Yeah.
But God, Arena's so much fun. That's partially why I wanted to talk about it today.
Yeah, I'm excited to do it. To talk about that.
Because I know that you love your arena as well.
I do.
It's just like, it's just a whole bunch of fun.
It is.
Just in recent news, I feel like this is noteworthy. Ariel and I went to a Brazilian steakhouse.
Wow.
And for those of you who don't know what a Brazilian steakhouse is.
I personally do not know, I'm ready for
this. It's wonderful. You dress in your nice clothes.
Okay.
Right? You dress up.
Yeah, yeah.
You go to the Brazilian steakhouse.
Where'd you go? What's the name?
Porto do Sul or something
Porto
like that.
Porto do Sul, okay.
Door to the Sul, S-U-L. I don't know. It's sun. Really
Door to the Sun.
Yes.
Maybe.
Sure.
Sorry.
Why not?
Sorry, keep going. Keep going.
That's a good guess, though. So we get there, we sit down. Keep in mind, this is like right after work. We thought this place was going to be hopping. Because it's a Brazilian steakhouse, but this is like Wednesday night at 6 p.m. And it's like a nice restaurant. So it's like pretty much empty. It's like 3 tables of guests in this big open floor plan. So we sit down, we get our sangria because Ariel's 21 now.
Oh, sangria. Oh, sangria is delicious.
So we got our delicious, delicious sangria.
Nice.
And there's this big table with all sorts of meat, cheese, not really meat, but cheese and bread and fruit. because I'll tell you, the meat comes later.
Okay.
So you fill up, they called it the harvest table.
Hmm.
And it was the harvest. We, you know, we it was like salad and, you know, tomato and mozzarella. It was just like, it was really nice. So we filled up our plates, came back to the seat, sat down. We'll get to Hearthstone in a second, but
yeah.
I'm gonna talk about Brazilian steakhouses for a second. But the thing is that these guys come around,
mm-hmm.
or girls, doesn't really matter, with these swords of meat.
Wow.
And there's a little card, a red or a green card, you can flip. And if the green side is up, they'll stop at your table. They're just like, would you like a slice of filet mignon?
Wow.
And you go, yes. You look at them with the biggest eyes you can. And they take this extremely sharp knife and they go, and they cut it onto your plate.
They slice it onto your plate.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow.
Or you can grab it with a tong if you want. But
man, that's really cool.
But it's not just filet mignon. It's like a lamb shank. It's
they literally shank that.
Yeah, they really did. It's like ham and pineapple covered in cinnamon, like roasted pineapple and cinnamon.
Mm.
It's a delicious, delicious place to go. It's a feast.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That sounds cool.
It was a lot of fun. Coming back to Hearthstone.
Yeah.
There is a Discord channel. If you know you're out there and you use Discord as a program. There's a Discord specifically for Hearthstone innkeepers now.
Mm.
You don't necessarily have to be an innkeeper to join. You most likely will be an innkeeper after you join because you're going to get so inspired by all the people that are having these great ideas and discussions. But it was actually stickied on the r/Hearthstone subreddit.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, there's, you know, Hearthstone community managers there. There's actually someone from Team 5 that's on the Discord.
Nice.
Very cool to see him there. You know, the mods of r/Hearthstone are there. All the innkeepers are there.
Nice.
It's just a great place to talk about just kind of gameplay. I'm actually a mod of the gameplay channel.
Wow.
So yeah, thank you very much. It's a very prestigious position. it's a lot of fun. Stop by. It's sticky, presumably, still on the r/Hearthstone.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Really been enjoying it. Anyway, that's been my life for like the past 3 weeks. It's been work, a little bit of Arena, Brazilian steakhouses, and innkeeper Discord. I think that pretty well sums it up.
It's pretty Robert. Solid. It's plentiful weeks.
It's very plentiful weeks. All right. What have you been up to, buddy?
So likewise, I've kind of had a kind of a step back from Hearthstone a little bit. I've hopped into the Arena here and there. I know when you and I were at the Buffalo Wild Wings event, we did some co-op Arena. And then we also had some Tavern Brawl competitions. So those were really fun. But for the most part, the only game I've been playing is Darkest Dungeon. I got in this, like, you know, zealous crusade to find a dungeon crawler. And I was picturing, you know, dungeon crawlers that I knew when I was, you know, when I was in middle school, which was like, there's this one called Realms. And it's like, you know,
with a Z at the end.
With a Z. And it's like 2D. And you're in this village called Bywater. And you've got a party and characters. And it's really fun. And it's turn-based. Well, Darkest Dungeon was the answer to all of my longings and dreams. And I think I was keeping it at arm's length because the lore and the appearance of the game is very strange.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's very gothic.
Yeah, like when you're not used to it, it feels very gothic. And you're kind of like, that's not really for me. But if you like dungeon crawlers, it is for you. Like, boy, it is really a great game. It was so fun to open up a game that's like finished and polished and has a really great, you know, story to tell you. And you know, you're on the wagon of this game. You're not like kind of pulling it like you are with all these alpha beta games that are out now where you're like, this part works, this part doesn't work, I'll make do with this. This game is in control of you, and it's really fun like that.
Mm-hmm. Super polished. There's an expansion coming out.
Is there really? Oh, yeah, God, that's really exciting.
There's a couple new characters that are coming out. I don't want to spoil anything for you, but
so cool.
They're the Flagellant.
Oh, my God, I'm excited.
It's really sweet.
Well, anyway. and another thing I did, and this is, you know, this is, if you're listening and you are a casual gamer, this is a tip. This is going to be my mantra for gaming in the next year. I am not going to pursue information about how to master my game I'm playing beyond the game client. Hmm. So Darkest Dungeon is the first game where I've done this. I am not looking things up. I am not, you know, going to Reddit and searching forums for good strategies. I have hardly even watched Darkest Dungeon streams. There aren't that many. Because I want my experience of this game to only be tempered by the game client. And it's been really, really nice. With Darkest Dungeon, it's been a little punishing. It's like, yeah. Oh, my four best characters just died. I wish I knew that this zone was going to have a lot of blight in it or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's been a part of the fun. And trying to master something just with the information that's within the game, that's an experience that I think has really been, you know, that we've been pulled outside of because of the wonders of the internet. And it's been fun to choose to not, you know, not metagame it at all. Just try and figure it out within the game itself. It's been really, really fun. Okay, other news. My baby, our first baby is coming. It's 2 months away. And my weekends have been consumed by birth classes. Birthing classes. These are a thing. So Kat's doing natural birth. We're going to be at a birthing center with a midwife. And we will not have access to pain meds and epidurals and C-sections and all that stuff. We just have to deliver this baby. No assistance. Beyond just she and I and what we can come up with. So we're learning all these techniques for pain management. We're learning all about, you know, what happens from stage one to baby's there and then even after baby's there. And it's been really cool. It's been a really great bonding experience. I think it's really positive for a marriage to know that, like, the only devices you have for bringing your kid into this world is just you two. And you just got to get through it, whatever it is. And also props to any ladies who have successfully delivered a child. Like, I have learned that it is one of the hardest things a human being does in a lifetime, and mad respect. On my knees, respect for people who can do it. It's really, really amazing. Outside of that, just working, and I'm excited to be back at the podcast, Sam. I'm really glad that we're throwing together episode 16 and beginning chapter 2 of our Hearthstone podcast. This is going to be fun.
Me too. It's I've been really looking forward to this. I've actually, there's been kind of a void that I felt. I've been like, ugh, I feel like I need an hour to chat with Robert this week.
And is it right there? Is that where you feel it? Right there?
Yeah, right there. Rubbing the
upper right on the chest.
Yeah. Yeah. For the audio listeners, which is all of you.
Right.
I was putting my hand on my chest.
This is very nice. Very nice.
All right, Robert. It's time for the age-old tradition, the 16-episode tradition.
Yes!
For card impressions.
I love card impressions. I'm out of shape. I'm four weeks out of shape.
So if you still remember Hearthstone,
right?
I have a card for you specifically.
Okay.
It is from the Grand Tournament, one of my personal favorite cards.
Okay.
That's probably not enough information. I have a lot of favorite cards. It is a 6-mana card, and it has 5 health and 3 attack.
Coda Rider?
It is Coda Rider.
Yes!
6-mana, 3-5, inspire, summon a 3-5 Kodo.
Yeah, this was, man, people who love value just, like, were foaming at the mouth over this card. Like, and still are. They still want it to work.
Yeah,
I feel like that's you. Do you love this card?
My favorite cards in the game are infinite value cards if a condition is met. And if the condition here is they can't do 5 damage on turn 6. and that's often not met. But sometimes it goes off. And then sometimes you got a board full of 3-5s. Now, right now, it's not so good with Dragonfire Potion, Brawl, any jades.
Yeah.
But aggro in particular takes right. 8 mana to get 2 3-5s. But still, it's a lot of fun. And the sounds of the card are amazing.
Now, I remember they were really cool, and I can't remember what they are, but I feel like there's like this high-pitched, excited scream that's a part of his play sound.
There is. It's actually a woman who is doing this, but it's a Torin, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking at the card art here.
So I think you'll be okay with the impression. Torin have pretty low voices.
Okay. All right, let me play this real quick, see what we got.
All right.
Let's get moving, but with an R in there. Moving.
Well, I think there's a pun there.
Moving.
Like, let's get moving.
Oh, it's like a cow? Like a cow thing?
Like a, it's a cow thing.
Oh, man, that's cool.
I think we found our podcast episode name. It's a cow
it's
thing.
It's a cow thing. We were talking about cows this week, actually. Somebody said, holy cow, and I'm reading this novel that's set in, like, 1960s India, where they venerate cows for their holiness. And
holy cow.
That's where holy cow comes from. Wow. Holy cow.
Oh my gosh. I totally forgot. I did something cool this week regarding cows.
Really?
I went to my friend's farm out in Eudora, Kansas.
Mm.
We had a little bit of chore to do.
We had to burn some pallets.
And we burned some wood pallets out on his farm. And it was amazing. The cows were just checking us out the whole time.
Anyway, that sounds great.
It was a lot of fun. Anyway, back to the card impression.
Who knew cows were going to be such a crux of our week?
I know. We live in Kansas. It's kind of inevitable.
We do. The word cow comes up a lot. All right. I'm going to play this one more time and I'll go for it.
Go for it.
It's almost like she turns into a cow like midway in there. Like the first two words are very plain. And then she really turns animalistic. All right, here we go. Let's get moving. Yay, that was really fun.
That was bovine.
Thank you.
Wow.
Okay, you ready for yours?
Yeah, of course.
You will not be surprised by this selection. It was okay. The first one that came to mind when we decided we would podcast, and it is a legendary who is seeing quite a bit of play right now on the competitive ranks, surprisingly.
Surprisingly seeing play at the competitive ranks.
A lot of play. He is very important.
Is that a clue?
Yeah, it's all like he is very important.
I was gonna say Shaku.
That's a good guess. It's not Shaku.
Not Shaku. Is it possibly? Well, I guess you can't really see the class.
He is neutral.
Patches.
No,
he is in charge.
He is still seeing a lot of play.
Yeah, he is. Surprise. Okay, so a surprising card that's seeing a lot of play.
Yeah, so it's a card that's like always, you know, it's been there a while, and people had been using it for a while here and there, but not really, you know, as a super strong card, more as like a I want to play this deck, so this card's in there kind of card.
Oh, okay. Boy, Archmage Antonitis? I wish I knew the metagame better. I wish that say.
So he is seeing play in mage decks.
Anomalous.
Predominantly. No, God, that would be cool.
Oh, Pyros.
It's a neutral. It's a neutral legendary.
Wait. The Curator.
No. Medivh. Medivh.
Medivh. Oh, my God.
A little rusty there.
Perfect. Yeah, I know that that card exists, will say.
Yeah,
I know the battle cry, too.
I bet you do.
I know the first part, but I think it's so kind of you to join me. Is that what it says?
The last part is so kind of you to join us. Or maybe it is join me.
See, that's the only thing. But the battle cry, the real battle cry, is that he summons a 1/3 Atiesh.
Yes.
And the Atiesh is a weapon. And it reads, every time you cast a spell, summon a random minion of that cost.
Yeah. Right. It's like a weapon-based summoning stone.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it's a 1/3 weapon, so if you need that extra one damage, you can also just swing face.
Sometimes it's worth it.
Sometimes it is worth it. It is so kind of you to join me.
Okay. What does he say at the very beginning?
He says, a game
A so game.
A game. Oh. So kind of you to join me.
Nice.
Wait, is it... Oh, my God. Yeah.
Great stinger. And there's like a little... Like, when I think when he comes in, there's a little bird sound. Because he's... He turns into a bird, right? Isn't that part of his thing?
I mean, I actually just played him in Heroes of the Storm today. He does turn into a raven.
Okay.
Oh, God, he's such a cool character.
He is really cool.
He's probably one of my favorite humans in Warcraft character lore. Because all the other humans kind of suck.
He's really cool. He's dynamic.
He's so dynamic.
He's a colorful character.
I know why you picked this. I know why you picked this card.
How come?
Because we were saying this battle cry over and over and over at Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm sure that folks were looking across and being given us the weird. It's like, yeah, you are playing a game, guys. Why are you being so weird?
There are people joining you. Yeah, nice. Seriously.
All right, here we go. Let me get my feathers all ruffled. A game? So kind of you to join me.
Nice.
A game?
Game. Whoever did that, this is fabulous. Very well done.
Yeah, I don't know that it's the same voice actor.
Mm.
Because the voice actor that I know in the Warcraft universe, he's like an old dude. And he's like,
there's... But portals that need to be opened, and
oh, really?
I'm very stoic and bird-like.
Huh? In the actual World of Warcraft game, is what you're saying?
Yeah, in the World of Warcraft game, that's my impression. And Heroes of the Storm, and the Warcraft movie, they're all played by relatively.
Okay, so I don't have an experience with Medivh in any of those, and to me, Medivh is kind of this young, savvy, you know, theater owner.
Yes, because. I believe that the One Night in Karazhan adventure took place long before the events of the Warcraft movie. This was back when he was a youngster. He was a young guardian of Azeroth.
Wow, see, that's really cool.
So yeah, it's traveling way back in time. So that Medivh is a youngster. So yeah, you are correct. In Hearthstone, at least in this adventure, Medivh is that he's like a 70s partier. He's got the long hair. You know, he's got the raven staff. Who knows what he's got hidden in that cloak?
Right. Apparently a giant sword that turns spells into minions.
Actually, the Atiesh is the raven, is the staff that has the raven statue on top.
Oh. That's Atiesh. Interesting.
Very cool. But then you realize that there's an alternative to this, that Medivh, as a hero, as a mage hero, is, I appreciate that. He's very stoic. He's got the hood.
Yeah.
He's very, you know, shaded character. So he has a lot of flavor as a character, and that's what I really enjoy.
Yeah. I like how dynamic he is. I like how he is not one-sided at all. Mm-hmm. Like
you know who is one-sided?
He has many dimensions.
Uther is one-sided.
Uther's one-sided.
I'm all about justice. I heard you guys are brewing justice over here. By the holy light.
Indeed. Indeed.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. Thank you for taking me on that trip of Warcraft lore.
It was really fun.
Wonderful. Again. Anyway. Speaking of Buffalo Wild Wings,
right?
We had it. We did it. we had a successful Buffalo Wild Wings excursion.
Indeed.
That was over Saturday and Sunday of May 27th and 28th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. I think it was a great time. We're going to be talking about it in our fireside chat, which is beginning right now. there's your transition. Enjoy it.
Nice. That was nice.
Thank you. But yeah, I have a couple questions just to start us off talking about Buffalo Wild Wings. So, first off, I know that there was a lot of curiosity when this event was announced, or when this series of events was announced, about the the actual physical space of Buffalo Wild Wings. So I want to get your impression of what was the space like? How did it feel? Was it okay? Was it okay having other people in the store? I don't know. What were your impressions?
So, So if you weren't there and you haven't seen, you know, pictures of Buffalo Wild Wings events or anything, basically we had a nice set of, I don't know, maybe 8 tables in a quarter of the store, like one of the corners that were set aside. It was our real estate to use. And they let us kind of set it up however we wanted. And on day 2, if you remember, we took those tables and we kind of set them up as community tables.
Yeah.
That really made it really nice.
I agree.
Yeah, that changed the space. So I think one of the cool things about the space is that, well, at least our Buffalo Wild Wings left it up to us for how it would be set up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that made it really nice in a lot of ways. I know there was one guy who came who he kind of woke up that morning and lived like across the street from the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, there's an event. I'll just walk over and go there. And I think that's cool. Like, that's how public the space is. And that's how, what's the word? Like, non-intimidating it is. Because it's a Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, everybody knows Buffalo Wild Wings.
Right.
You know, that's a comfortable place to walk in, even if you don't know anybody, and say, where's the fireside?
Right. It's like, you know there's going to be people there. If it's weird, you can just sink back into the crowd and be like, I'm near the fireside. I'm just here for the delicious wings.
Right.
I don't think anyone really did that at the event, though. I think we were pretty welcoming at the event.
Right.
So,
yeah, I like the space. I like the Buffalo Wild Wings idea. From a competitive standpoint, I don't, like, between the noise-canceling headphones and, you know, the backdrop and having your own station, like, you can set it up for competitors that distractions are completely minimized. And I've been to other venues that would not come under the critique of, is this a distracting environment? Like, I've been to the Esports Arena in Los Angeles where a dozen players play. That is a more distracting environment than Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, that arena is chaotic in a cool way. Like, it's a gaming arena. But to point a finger at Buffalo Wild Wings and say that's an you know, disadvantage, that's just kind of absurd.
Right.
And the way the environment was managed for our competitor was very ideal. I think it was very easy for him to focus with what we had set him up for. So I think it's a really, really cool space. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. What did you think?
I think as far as the space, in my experience, I haven't really had a chance, like, I haven't really been acquainted with the public spaces of a Buffalo Wild Wings. Usually all my firesides are pretty out of the way, or they're at a private location. So this was a different pace than other times. Having to work with a venue staff and venue owner to allocate space was a challenge on its own. We got it figured out, of course. But I mean, if we were to do this again at Buffalo Wild Wings, I would rather do it with our own little alcove. I think it was appropriate. I mean, I agree with you as terms of distractions. I think, you know, we did our best to minimize player distraction, but there's also this sort of, there's a bit of a turf war, it seemed, between the Buffalo Wild Wings staff and the fireside. And
there was a little bit.
I don't think anyone was at fault. I don't think it's our fault for taking up too much space. I don't think it's Buffalo Wild Wings' fault, because they just need to fill tables. That's their prime directive.
Right.
Is to, you know, have people sitting at tables and ordering food. There was one moment, I'd say for probably half an hour, where our competitor was playing. And there was like a family of 4, probably about 10 feet away from him. Like, it was the maximum or the minimum length away. But I just, I felt a little bad for our competitor at that moment. I think we got the table filled up with Fireside people after they left. Mm-hmm. But there was a moment there where it's just I was a little nervous for our competitor. But I mean, you guys did a great job of taking care of him. You and Hayden were phenomenal in being tournament administrators. And you know, there is nothing to be said because that he was our only competitor.
Right.
But I mean, while I was tending to the patrons of the Firesides, what was it like for you to be a tournament admin? Like, how was that experience?
Yeah, it was cool to see how many different levels of communication there are behind the scenes of an HCT.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of take for granted as a spectator of an HCT event the amount of coordination that's involved with people who are all over the planet, like, you know, thousands of miles away, have to communicate absolutely in sync with what's going on, you know, that's unique to their event versus what's going on that's unique to your venue. And it was very cool to see how it's all streamlined and how many different people are involved in making it fluent and making it consistent. So that was really, really cool to see. And it's something that when I watched a casual HCT, I just didn't even realize what's going on. There were two things, I think, just overall about the competitive side of the event that I think, you know, if you could redo it at a Buffalo Wild Wings, these would be two things that I would hope could be improved upon. So number one was we couldn't watch our competitor, and our people at our fireside couldn't watch him. So there's this cool production, you know, we got these cool lights set up, we have this cool backdrop, he's sitting there, he's competing, he's one of 64 people in the Western Hemisphere competing right now. And we're 5 feet away and we can't watch his game. And I thought that was a bummer. Like, I thought it'd be really cool if we could watch his game. And that was something that a couple of patrons to the fireside brought up. They're like, well, can we watch him? And I was like, not really. I can kind of see him right now because I'm off to the side. I can tell you what's going on. But, you know, everybody shows up because this cool guy is here. He's our competitor in the Midwest. We didn't see a single play he made. And I thought that was something that could definitely be better.
That's a really good point. Because I think it's because his back was the backdrop.
Yeah.
But then he also needs his space. Like, from a competitive aspect, he does. I mean, we do need to give him that space. It's like, it's what he was expecting when he came in.
Right.
And the fact that there was that big backdrop behind him,
yeah,
I think prohibited people from standing behind him.
So I don't think you want, like, you don't want everybody around him, crowding around him. Like, it's ridiculously distracting. But if there was a way for, you know, if Blizzard would allow one spectator, like if the innkeeper of an event could spectate their competitor and then put it up on a TV or something, then we could watch him compete without much distraction to his actual gameplay and that sort of thing.
It might be worth it to, maybe it would be that, there's a couple things that maybe are the reason why we can't watch. Probably, I'd say the main reason is that if a policy is enacted for one location, that has to be enacted for all of the locations. And so let's just go with the case where we have the most people to deal with, probably Fairfax. That was the largest one. Probably had like 12 to 15 people that showed up to compete. That means that there can be 12, like, you know, 12 spectators to these games.
Yeah.
On top of that, I mean, that could cause issues right there, because at that point you have to vet, you have to confirm that the spectators are all registered under the innkeeper or people that are attending or helping out with the fireside, and that might be kind of difficult.
Yeah.
The second thing that I might, that this is kind of a minor point, but I think it's just from a broadcast perspective, there's a pretty huge delay, actually. For those of you who haven't been to a Hearthstone Championship Tour playoff event, there's a phenomenal delay. I think it's like, was it like 10 minutes, 30 minutes?
It was somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it was a huge delay in the between when the games are actually happening and when they were broadcasted. So, if there are spectators of the games, let's say Tim competed, right? I mean, on the broadcast, like he was on screen with, you know, Brian, like Kibler's, you know, casting his game. if people are watching at the Kansas location and they see that he goes 0-3 and he loses on turn four every single time.
Yeah.
That opens up the possibility of them letting people know early.
Right.
And leaking the spoiling the broadcast, but 15 minutes early. In the long run, that's not terrible, but as a vehement hater of spoilers, that might be something to consider.
Yeah.
In our situation, it would be amazing if we could get a projector and project it up onto a wall somewhere, or like onto the backdrop or something like that. That would be really cool. But it might be that there is a restrictive policy because you have to accommodate every single location.
Yeah. I think it's like, you know, the means to the end are probably, you know, filled with tons of variables for every location. And of course, there are problems. Like, there's problems with the current system. There's all sorts of people having strange disconnects and dropouts, and they really need a new way to manage that, I think, in general. So, of course, they run into problems with managing the efficacy of, like, tournament timeline. But the end goal is that your live spectators who showed up to a restaurant because there's somebody in their location competing at an international Hearthstone event get to watch him and cheer him on. Like, I think the ends justify whatever means have to be hopped through for that thing to happen.
That is really true.
Okay, so then the other thing, and it's the only other thing that comes to mind, is that we couldn't hear the the casting for the HCT event in the Buffalo Wild Wings, which at first that didn't occur to me that it would be a big deal. But it kind of created this strange environment where our patrons showed up and they wanted to watch the HCT, a lot of them. Like, that's, you know, that was one of the main things they wanted to do. And it was up on the TVs, but they couldn't hear the casting. And so it kind of like created this sort of zone out atmosphere where we were there for the fireside, but not really for the HCT. And the HCT is the thing that's going on that's supposed to sort of be our cohesive, you know, viewing experience. So I don't know what the answer to that question is, but if there was a way to make the HCT viewing experience more, you know, live and enticing within the Buffalo Wild Wings atmosphere, I think that would have helped the environment quite a bit.
I think that the answer rhymes with private broom. I think that's a viable option, is the private broom.
Sivet shoom.
Yeah, there we go. So, you know, just something that rhymes with that.
But that would help.
Super interesting stuff to talk. I mean, like, I think it was a fun event. I think the people that game, the people that came really enjoyed it. There was a dad, his a guy named Don. He brought his 5-year-old daughter.
They were so fun.
They were so cute.
Yeah.
I gave the little daughter like a little Hearthstone necklace. And she like put it on. It was really cool. Just to see that, you know, a father and daughter could bond over this game and then come out to a Buffalo Wild Wings and have a wholesome experience. I was so impressed. I was so pleased to see that, you know, people were enjoying themselves.
Yeah,
you
know, it was really nice.
It was a really cool experience.
And the environment was very family like inviting. I know on Sunday we had a big family show up, and they were like,
"My mom came."
Yeah, they were like so fun to hang out with. And yeah, it was cool. It's a very kid friendly environment too. It was really cool in that way too.
Yeah. Compared to our 21 plus events, is very family friendly.
Right.
Speaking of 21 plus events.
Yeah.
Our June 17th Fireside is coming up. It's going to be our largest event yet. It's going to be at Boulevard Brewery on Saturday, June 17th from 7 to 10 p.m. If you're listening to this podcast, chances are that you've already picked up a ticket. But if you haven't, there are still tickets available. I don't think it's responsible to advertise 75 people anymore. The room can hold 75 people. So far, we sold around 40% of the total tickets, which is still amazing. I think we're estimated to have 45 to 50 people at this event, which when you think about it, is amazing.
Yeah.
It's still the Kansas City Hearthstone scene, and it's still insane that you can get 45 to 50 people in a room to play Hearthstone and enjoy Hearthstone.
Yeah.
So while there may be some empty seats after this event, actually, I think we're going to engineer it so that there aren't any empty seats, aren't any empty tables. The fact that there might be a little extra room in the room shouldn't dissuade you from the popularity of Hearthstone in Kansas City. It's as healthy as ever. I think Un'Goro did wonderful things for the Hearthstone community in Kansas City. I think we enjoyed a huge spike in interest in the game. And hopefully the rest of the expansions, we're just going to keep seeing bigger and bigger spikes. Yeah. And people spike in interest. They come to a KC Fireside event, and like 87% of people that come to KC Fireside's event said that they would definitely come back to do another one. So I think that, you know, this event's going to be amazing no matter what. For everyone that's going to be coming, tickets are going to come out tomorrow. So that's June 9th. I'm going to send out the invitations out to everyone that got a ticket. The promotion is still going, where if you and a friend get tickets, you get double entries into the raffle.
Hey,
so, you know, extra loot. So, I mean, how can you say no to that? But yeah, I mean, big thanks once again to blizzpro.com. They're tweeting their butts off about this event. They're mentioning it on the Well Met podcast. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get John and Tannen out because they actually were both moving and doing life things, which is understandable. Moving is expensive, yo.
It is.
And, you know, they're also extremely busy because they're hauling boxes around and unpacking and stuff.
Right.
So best of luck to them. Hope you can come out next time if you guys are listening. Always welcome at these events. And, yeah, big thanks to blizzpro.com. Yeah, Robert, any thoughts about the June 17th Fireside? I know you're going to be there.
Dude, I'm just really excited. I'm just really excited. I honestly am really excited about the space. Like, I know the room that we're going to be in. And it'll be cool because I think, you know, 3 for 3 now, we've been in the tavern. The tavern's awesome. But there's a lot of other really cool places in that brewery, and this space is awesome. I'm really excited to just be in that place for 3 hours. And then,
Go ahead.
No, go for it. What's
it's like? I believe it's the shape of a trapezoid.
Yeah, so, that sounds right.
So if that doesn't sell tickets, I don't know what will.
Dude, it's like a live dungeon crawler. With
yeah, Hearthstone come in the come middle. For come for the Hearthstone, stay for the trapezoid. That's all I would say.
Indeed.
There's like a wonderful view over the brewery, so you can nice. Put your hands behind your back and just like pace and look at the brewery. So look at all the bottles being brewed.
Yeah, and it's really cool.
Or you can enjoy a brew while you watch the brew. It's a great space, and I'm really looking forward to checking it out. Same cool stuff as always. I have a goal. And I don't want to say it. I think I have a competitive event lined up. But it's not going to be anything that you've played before. And that's all I'm going to say. It's going to be amazing fun. And it's going to take advantage of some of the new features that came out.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it's a physical thing as well, which is going to be awesome. So if throw so like, you for a freaking
how
loop.
Many beers can you finish?
Yeah.
In a Hearthstone game and still win.
Every time you play a minion, take sips equivalent to the minion's cost. Ooh, that would be fun. Anyway, so that's for the June event. July is going to be an insane month for Firesides. I have been asked to write a speech to give. I'm not really going to say to who, but I have a question to answer. I've been challenged to answer a question. And this question is, how do you attract returning patrons? How do you get patrons to come back to events? And I think that's a question that I think all innkeepers around the globe struggle answering, myself included. Because people can love Casey Firesides. Most people do, in fact. But getting people to come back, they either have to really like the event, or you have to employ some tactics to mm-hmm. get them interested and get the patrons interested in coming back. And I might be talking about this in the coming weeks as I discover new things, but I believe that there are three things, and I'm going to leave it at this before we move on. There are three main topics that I think are key in attracting returning patrons. The first is providing value. The second is putting an effort. And the third is walking away with an experience. I think those are the big three, in my opinion. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, that's a huge question. I think it's like the most important question for people who are trying to grow a community.
Yes. Because you have experience with this yourself. You still have a wondrous community that you've built over the last couple of years. And there are still, you still have patrons that are, you have attracted returning patrons yourself.
That's true.
So I'm going to be very interested in picking your brain, perhaps on this podcast in later episodes, about how the heck do you get people to come back?
Yeah. That's such an interesting question.
It's an interesting question. And for those of you at KC Firesides that do come back, I want to give you a huge, huge thank you. It's the coolest part is that I know you guys now.
Right. It is really cool.
It's super cool because I feel like I've made friends through KC Firesides. And like, if I saw you on the street, I'd recognize you and I'd walk up and say hello. KC Firesides has been a wonderful catalyst for meeting other Hearthstone people in Kansas City.
Indeed. Indeed. Thanks to all of you who come to the... So kind! So kind of you to join
So kind of you to join again!
very cool.
Okay, so last thing I'm going to talk about...
Go for it.
...is the July event.
Okay.
So, aside from the speech, I have an event that I'm thinking of. The fog is clearing on what this event actually is going to be. I'm going to give you three words. Hearthstone Mystery Dinner. Whoa.
Whoa.
It's going to be a smaller, more intimate fireside. I think we're going to have 20 people total. Ticket prices are not going to be $25. It's probably going to be $5, $10, something like that. Not crazy. It's going to be at a restaurant. We're going to have our own private room. There's that theme coming up. Big, long table. Hearthstone's going to be involved. But it's going to be more of a murder mystery dinner theater.
Ooh. Are you going to be Medivh? Because that would be amazing.
Maybe. Maybe. That'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
That would be so cool.
I don't think it's going to be a murder mystery, but there's going to be some sort of Hearthstone related mystery people that come are going to have to solve.
Oh, I like that.
And you know, I think you're going to have to buy your own drinks this time, which I know is a huge travesty for KC Firesides, but I'm going to see what I can do to get a discount for like happy hour pricing for the alcohol on tap. I'm going to do my best to get you guys fed for the least amount of, you know, for the least amount of cost on you. But yeah, definitely look forward to it. I'm going to be doing a lot of writing for July, for Hearthstone in July. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think this will fill my gaming slump, is writing.
Sounds
and being
cool.
Creative.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts? Any knee-jerk reactions to that pitch?
I hope it, you know, with tickets being that cheap, I will be very attentive to the box office opening because I don't want to miss getting a ticket. That's my knee jerk.
All right. Well, yeah. Stay tuned, guys. I'll be sure and give you guys updates as we get closer to July.
Excellent. Excellent. Right.
So I'm going to give you a chance to talk, Robert. I feel like I've been yapping quite a bit.
Well, you organize all these events, so that's what we've been talking about. So that makes sense. But where you still want to do our little arena breakdown here?
I do. Wait, what are we doing on time?
We are at 49.
49. Oh, we got time. We got time
for a little arena chat.
We got time for a little arena chat. So first off, I feel like you've been playing more arena, going from birthing classes and other work. you've managed to find time to put in more arena games than I have.
Okay.
So, and you've been playing Arena for probably much more total than I have.
That's probably true, yeah.
So I want you to lead us off with the Un'Goro Arena. Why is it fun right now? Yeah. What are your favorite cards to play with and against, and what are your least favorite cards to play with and against?
Excellent question. So I think what happened with Arena, and if you haven't given Arena a shot, since the rotation, you really should, because what happened for me was Arena in the past was this cool thing where, you know, you can play a different style of game, but ultimately the gameplay itself felt way too like cookie cutter value oriented. Like all the cards were available. There was no weight in the drafts. So everybody just drafted the strongest minion they could play on curve, and you play curve and trade and win or lose. And that was the feel of Arena pre-rotation for me. With the rotation and with Un'Goro, first of all, they switched Arena to Standard, which is really cool. But the biggest thing they did is the Offering Bonus. And if you don't know how the Offering Bonus works, the long story short is spells, epics, legendaries, and the cards from the current set all have a drafting bonus. And so you are like 100% more likely to see cards that fit into those categories. Hmm. They also tempered the card pool a lot. Like ridiculous, useless cards like Purify aren't going to show up when you do your priest draft. Super broken cards like Flamestrike have been nerfed in their draft frequency for Mage. So they did like actually some conscientious balancing to make Arena more refined. And suddenly Arena became this really cool place where you can actually build a deck that has synergies, that has cool interactions, that has like gameplay styles that you can predict and forecast and actually like strategize towards. And none of that really existed before. So I think for me, I've been loving Arena as a result of all of those changes. And so props to Team 5 and to Blizzard for giving some attention to Arena. And it's just been, I mean, I haven't touched Standard in quite some time because Arena is just so fun. Like, it's just a blast. I don't ever sit here and go, man, I really don't want to draft a new Arena deck and play right now. Like, that's always something fun to do because it's always a brand new experience. What do you think? Why don't you go for that question? Why is it so fun for you right now?
I just think it's fun because it's just not constructed. I do enjoy it. I have to be in a certain mood to play constructed. Mm-hmm. Less so for playing Arena, basically what you said earlier. I actually find that I can figure out how good I am based off of when I get a bad Arena draft, and I can play it out and see if I can get wins with the deck. Mm. It feels much more skill-oriented, in my opinion, for Arena. Obviously, you blow out with your deck, and like you get like 600 primordial glyphs, and you just win the game. Right. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you high roll, and yes, that feels really good. But most of the time, you're going to have, I mean, the power level of decks that you draft are going to be on a bell curve. And most of the time, you're going to get right in that middle. You're going to get right in the middle of, like, overall power level of a deck. And so, you know, figuring out how well you can do and improving yourself and figuring out what works and what doesn't work and enjoying the differences between what cards are powerful in Arena versus how they're powerful and constructed and why.
Yeah.
Volatile Elemental is insane in Arena.
It really is.
It's a 1/1 for two.
And it's insane.
In Constructed, it's not as good.
It's unplayable.
This in Arena, you're going up against like a bunch of mages who can deal one damage with their hero power. And still Volatile Elemental's okay.
Right.
Which is cool. Like, that's cool. Stubborn gastropod. Yeah. It's awesome. It's cool. Vicious fledgling. Oh my god. Oh, it's so cool.
Flappy fledgling is so awesome.
You get to play so many cards in Arena. That's what I really love. Anyway, speaking of cards, Robert, what are your favorite cards to play with and against in Arena?
Yeah, you mentioned some nice ones. So I'll go for some, like, really, I guess, cards that struck me as, like, I got excited about them and I was surprised. Like, I didn't even know that they existed before, you know? One of them is, like, Ancient of Blossoms.
A 6-mana 3/8 taunt.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Like, I didn't know that card existed. I drafted it, and when I remember the first time I played it in a run, and I think I had like a rogue deck or something, and I had an ice board, and I dropped that down against a paladin, and it was like, dang, this card is really strong right here. Like, and then I just like hearing the ancient, you know,
it's just like crackling wood, and
yeah, it like grows its branches,
it's a great sound.
It's a really good stat line for Arena. So cards like that, like Hired Gun, I love playing Hired Gun. The card is interestingly awesome in great situations. The card, you'll know the name of it, but I can't think of the name right now. It silences a death rattle.
Defias Cleaner.
That card is just
6-mana 5/7.
God, he's cool.
You're sacrificing one attack from a Boulder Fist Ogre for a conditional silence, but it's not that conditional because of
Spike Ridge Steed. And
Volatile Elemental.
Right. And because of the offering bonus, like, you're probably going to see a Spike Ridge Seed over the course of your Arena run. Mm-hmm. Because there's 100% higher chance for a Paladin to see that card. And then there's also a spell bonus. So, like, that's why Paladins have 4 Spike Ridge Steeds, because of the bonus. So it's, like, created this cool meta where Defias Cleaner is a really great card to draft. How about you? What are some of your favorites besides Unstable?
So my favorite cards to play with and against. My favorite card to play in Arena is Daring Reporter.
Ooh, yeah.
There aren't that many card draw mechanics in Arena.
Right.
There are some, and when that happens, it feels great.
Yeah.
But again, so this is the. See, Robert, this is an infinite value card.
Yeah, you love these.
It's a four mana 4/4, basically. That if they don't deal with it, it's a 5/5 next turn, and if they don't deal with it, it's a 6/6 next turn. And that they're really, really, really discouraged from drawing additional cards. And I think that's so cool, and it works really well with I wish Grove Tender was still a thing for Druid.
Because then you could be
3-mana
cool.
2/4, make your opponent draw a card. Or Cold Light Oracle, make your opponent draw 2 cards.
Yeah.
Give your Daring Reporter +2/+2.
Oh, that's interesting.
I love the flavor. We've actually done a voice impression of this card.
I remember
on
that.
On the podcast. But I never thought I'd really play it.
Right.
Until I got to Arena. I just love the card. It's not a very good 4-drop.
Right.
But sometimes it is, and that's what
sometimes
I love.
Sometimes it's amazing.
Sometimes it's amazing, and that's exactly my style of gameplay. One of my favorite cards to play against, one of my favorite cards to play against is.
That's such a hard question, because like.
Yeah, I like playing against Volatile Elemental a lot.
Okay.
Nice. There is a bit of RNG there, but it's almost entirely controllable by you.
Yeah.
There aren't very many times where you can't deal one damage, and you can do your best. There's a lot of risk reward. You can plop your 3-drop down and hit the 2-drop, or something like that, or like your 3-mana 3/4, and then hope you have to like weigh the difference between like, okay, well, if I have like a 2/1 and a 3/1, is that helpful than like a 3/4 and nothing? There's a lot of risk reward that you have to think ahead when you're playing against. And there are definitely timelines that you can create that give you an advantage when you're playing with or when you're playing against Volatile Elemental.
Yeah,
it's a 2-mana card that creates these really dynamic and interesting situations, which you know, doesn't really happen with Knife Juggler.
Right.
That's like a 2-mana card that pretty much is always bad news for you.
Yeah.
Or bad news for them. Right. But with Volatile Elemental, you get a body and it has a pretty serious effect. It's a Frostbolt, basically. Yeah. Or it's a Dark Bomb, if we're going to go literal. But
it's a really cool card. I like, you'll know the name of it. It's a 2/8 dragon whose attack doubles every turn. Scaled Nightmare. That card is so fun in Arena, like on both sides of the board. Like,
yeah.
It can single-handedly just completely win a game if in 4 turns, like, if you're not going to deal with it. Yep. And so it's really fun, even playing against, like, evaluating, do I really have to kill it yet? Like, I can maybe squeak out one turn and not get extremely punished. It's really cool, like, measuring the risk-reward there.
It's kind of like, that's kind of falls with the same as Frozen Crusher. It's a card in Arena, 6-mana, 8/8. After this minion attacks, freeze it. There's always an element of, how much health do I have? Can I survive a face tank and then develop my own board?
Right.
Or can I make this guy trade ineffectively? It's like that's a real and then once they attack, you're like, oh cool, whew, I got a turn of breather.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Right. Yeah, that is cool. Play Arena.
Play Arena. Do you want to talk about least favorite cards? I have one card. I have two cards that I really don't like.
Okay, go for it.
Well, I think the card that I really dislike is, come on, Servant of Kalamos. I was almost going to forget that card. Are you serious? Servant of Kalamos, 5-mana, 4/5, battle cry. If you played an elemental last turn, discover an elemental.
Mm.
And while the brother, heed my call, is really fun to hear, it's not fun to hear over and over and over again.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a thing just with this expansion because of the elemental pick rate. And Sword of Kalamos is like a really good value card. But the fact that it's, I don't know, it's just a little frustrating to play against. Because every time someone plays, I go, okay, well, there you go. Like, I hope they don't get Osric and a bunch of flame elementals, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope that, you know, you just got to hope. Okay, I hope they don't get Tar Lord.
Tar Lord is so awesome.
Yeah, hope not. Otherwise, I lose the game.
Right.
And that doesn't feel so good. I mean, it's very interesting when you're playing it, because then you have to make some serious decisions. Like, okay, do I take, you know, Fire Plume Harbinger, or do I take Tar Elemental or Tar Creeper?
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting decision making there. But for your opponent, you just got to, like, sit and watch while they refill their hand with more resources. It's just like, all right. Okay. Really buy it.
Yeah, that's a good choice. And the thing that's cool is, like, one thing I'm really excited about is when the next set comes, I'll be excited to open packs and play some constructed decks and stuff, but the Arena meta will completely change because the offering bonus on all the Unguro will go back to flatline, and the offering bonus on the new set will be super hyped. And so I'm really excited because things like elemental decks will not be... They will rarely show up in Arena because it'd be very unreliable to start drafting elementals and hope that you get some more. Mm-hmm. And whatever the new synergies are from the new set, like that might be the new thing that shows up and starts developing the new Arena meta. So it'd be really fun when a new set comes out.
For sure. What do you say, Robert? You think it's time to wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up, dude.
Okay, that's gonna be it for our Fireside Chat this week. Before we head out of here, we'd like to remind everyone that if you listen to the show and you like us, please consider taking a few minutes to hop on iTunes and give us a rating and review. These reviews help us gain more visibility and are going to help us do more with the podcast, like have more episodes.
Heyo.
Hey, you know, we could, if you want, we can do more episodes. We could do maybe 2 a month, huh? 3 a month, 4 a month?
Those reviews are motivating.
Yeah, they really are. if you leave a review, we're also going to read it aloud on the next episode, barring any weirdness that may not happen. Or it's like a 1-star review. It's like,
these guys like Hearthstone too much. The card impressions are terrible. There needs to be more complaining about the game.
you never know. Don't leave us that review.
Right.
Or do if that's how you really feel. But we reserve the right to not read that specific review. All right, Robert, we gotta get out of here. Where can people find you, and what are you gonna be up to this week?
So, you know, my esports career is like officially a closed book, so I don't have a ton of content stuff to plug, but I will continue to say that the Templestorm Hearthstone YouTube and the goodgaming.com Hearthstone content is quality content made by quality people, and I will continue to vouch for those teams and the things that they make. With Templestorm, I believe we will see a Control Warrior mini documentary coming out this week, which will be really cool. So check out the Templestorm Hearthstone YouTube channel. Be sure to catch that documentary. And then if you want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a message or tweet at me. You can find me at IgnatiusHS on Twitter. How about awesome. You, Sam?
I just, you know, we put a lot of love into the mini doc for a Control Warrior. It was a lot of fun to make.
Indeed.
So yeah, definitely check that out on the Tempestorm. We're almost at 17,000 subscribers on the Tempestorm Hearthstone YouTube channel, which is amazing. It's been a wonderful journey. I'm excited to continue. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at @Ben_Sampson. You can find me tweeting about whatever, mostly Hearthstone stuff. Sometimes my week. Sometimes I'll post a couple photos. Who knows? So you can find me on Twitter. I'm also a moderator, hands clenched, super like white knuckled. I'm a moderator on the, Hearthstone Innkeeper's Discord. If you want to come talk about gameplay chat, you're welcome in my chat channel.
Yeah.
We actually have some pretty fun emoji. If you're interested in that kind of thing with Discord. So drop on by. It's stickied at the top of the subreddit. Tell them that Sam sent you. And then come talk gameplay or, you know, get inspired to host your own fireside. If you don't like Discord or you want to do something else, you can always come to our KC Firesides events. our next one's on June 17th, if you haven't heard before. It's going to be amazing. Tickets are on sale at kcfiresides.com/events. That's going to happen. The dinner party in July is going to happen. Looking forward to sharing that experience with you. That's going to wrap up episode 16 of the KC Firesides Hearthstone podcast. Again, thanks everyone for joining us. Hopefully see you next week. Huh?
Indeed, indeed. So kind of you all to join us. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening.